title of the game, Darksiders 2, doesn't exactly sound like the colorful and expansive universe that it actually is. This is thanks in part to developer Vigil Games, and also thanks to composer Jesper Kidd. Welcome to Top Score from Classical Minnesota Public Radio. I'm Emily Reese. Jesper used lots of vintage analog synths, but he also used live elements like stringed instruments and voice on this soundtrack. Turns out, though, one of my favorite songs on the entire album was basically a live jam. With Darksiders 2, Jesper was given free rein to create a soundscape for the story, which involves the character Death from the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. But opposite Death are the immortal creators of the universe in Darksiders 2, the Makers, giving Jesper the chance to score darkness versus light throughout. Also, we have two copies of the Darksiders 2 soundtrack to give away. You can enter the drawing for a chance to win one at classicalmpr.org/topscore. The entry period ends on Thursday, December 20th, 2012. So let's talk a little about the Makers theme, because there is an element in Darksiders 2 that's almost kind of like a Celtic element, and it seems like you reflected that really well in that theme.
Yeah, I mean, that was something that came directly from Vigil Games. They were they had this idea that Celtic music was the way to go for the Makers area. Mm-hmm. And after I saw the game and the graphics and the concept art, I totally knew what they were going for and why that would work. And to connect with this race of creatures like the Makers, they're pretty much eternal, you know? Mm-hmm. They are the oldest race in the game, and I think there's something about that type of music that you can work in, that it has some kind of really truthful kind of sound to it. And I think that type of music style really lends itself well to kind of express all that.
You used a number of live instruments, it seems, for the Makers theme. And one of the things that I enjoy very much about how the piece unfolds is that we'll hear the melody on the whistle, or we'll hear it in cello, or we'll hear it on violin or something. You kind of take us through different iterations of this theme throughout the piece, and I really like the flow.
There's definitely a lot of variations going on, and I think it's I wanted to create a theme that can lend itself well to different interpretations, and so that was definitely a conscious decision to come up with a theme that, you know, could be reflected in different kind of arrangements.
There are a number of pieces I'd love to talk about individually, and we'll get to them in a minute, but you mentioned the concept art and seeing the game. And when I got a chance to see the game for the very first time, it's a lovely game. It's so colorful and pretty, and I wonder, what were your initial thoughts when you got to see some of that art early on?
I was blown away by the colorful art style of Joe Madd. I thought it looked like nothing else. Mm-hmm. And I started to, you know, put the pieces together, you know, as far as why they are. They kept telling me, we want something that's unique, something that's new. You know, the fantasy music genre usually has a certain type of sound.
Yes.
And they did not want that type of sound. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I started wondering right away. I was like, okay, this is awesome. This is this is the kind of stuff that doesn't come along all that often, where the developer says, just go as far as you can. Mm-hmm. And you go far. And they're like, well, you can go further. You know, so it was really interesting. But when I saw the graphics and saw how, you know, colorful and unique it was, I was like, okay, I totally get it. You know, I get why we're going to do it this way, and it's going to be awesome.
one of the pieces that I love, and I think it speaks a little bit to how just the unique qualities of this score is a piece called The Corruption. It just does this wonderful build of kind of, it has this kind of tragic, almost melancholy intro, but then it goes into this kind of hopeful theme around the middle of it. I'm sure you know what I'm speaking of here, where you kind of change pace a little bit and it gets hopeful.
You know, The Corruption was interesting because to me, when that, you know, guitar comes in, that to me was the sound of The Corruption. And I love experimenting with ways of having not just a theme represent something, but having the actual sound represent it too. You know, we all kind of know how it works when you do it with a theme for the good guy, bad guy, this and that.
Yes.
But when you start experimenting with the actual sound as well, it can be the sound and the theme, or it can be one or the other. But I find that very interesting. I think it's something that doesn't get explored that much, and it's something that fascinates me. So that I call it the sound of the guitar that comes in is more The Corruption to me, and then the Maker's element that comes in that turns everything hopeful is more kind of like the Maker's viewpoint that good will always triumph evil.
With Into Eternity, you did some vocal work, and I know you love to use voice and manipulate it after the fact. Can you tell me a little bit about the singer you worked with and how you chose to implement that voice into the score?
You know, I'm very picky about the vocalist I work with. You know, mm-hmm. I have a great working relationship with Melissa, and I like using her. When I write vocals and work with Melissa, I write the parts for her because I know her so well by now, her range. So that was very much the case of Into Eternity. You know, she was able to follow the melody so precisely and get into the feel of what I was looking for. That, you know, there is some manipulation, but it's much more, you know, in the background, it's minor.
Sure.
It's like this type of performance was really just everything I had hoped it would be.
One of the things that I enjoy also about, I guess maybe the mix, I'm not sure which it is, but it's very intimate sounding mix where it feels like you're kind of just right there.
That is very interesting because this is actually the first score that I have mixed myself in a while. This score was just so, there were so many layers. It was so complex that I needed to spend a long time on the mix and decided early on that I'm going to be mixing this score myself. It might sound simple, but there's a lot going on underneath. And
oh, yes.
That's really what I also love working on, trying to make things sound as simple as they can and be a kind of a strong statement in some ways. But I mean, that's what I feel about classical music. You know, you have to really hear these classical, you know, masterpieces a lot of times before you start picking up the details.
Yes.
That's also really what it's like to score for games. I mean, you want to write music that can handle being listened to over and over without driving the player crazy.
Yes.
And it's kind of, in some ways, the opposite approach of pop music, where you're trying to, you know, present the entire idea at once, so
yes.
people can go out and buy that song,
mm-hmm.
Or even music for film, which also has to work the first time you hear it, because
yes.
it's like, it's not like, oh, the third time you see it, now you understand what they did with the music. I mean, there might be movies like that out there, but that's mm-hmm. not the mainstream.
Another piece that I have listened to on repeat many, many times is called Crystal Spire.
Yeah.
And this is like the musical representation of a crystal spire. If you heard, if you thought, what would it sound like? I think they would write your piece, because it's like so, so wonderful. Tell me about
yeah.
that piece. And this is, in my opinion, quite different than some of the other tracks on the record.
Yeah, I think that piece is probably one of the most far out pieces, just in a sense of how it was written. And I mean, that is almost a live jam, that whole piece.
Oh, wow.
You know, I'm using a lot of, you know, odd vintage electronics. And that is a sound I was able to get without, you know, too much post manipulation. A lot of it is real time.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was really a cool process. And then there's the analog synths and stuff like that in the background as well. I have the one of my the Monty Polycork is playing in the background on that one, and
wow.
but yeah, I like that piece too. It was interesting because it you know, to me, Darksiders 2 is a experience about the afterlife. To me, it was more about scoring the afterlife and then maybe light and darkness. So obviously, Crystal Spire is more about the light, you know. Not all the time that you get to kind of be that creative on a big kind of entertainment project.
One more song that I'd like to talk about in particular is Story of the Makers.
Yeah.
There are a couple of times where you actually kind of bring it to rest with a little bit of a cadence, and it's kind of the first glimpse we have into what I would call traditional tonality, for one. And so
yeah.
it really draws your ear to it because of that. And being in a
yeah.
minor key, it's really sad. I want, you know,
well,
just to hear about your mind frame there.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad because the Makers are dying,
mm-hmm.
you know, and at this moment, we don't know about, you know, it wasn't written for, oh, but there is hope, you know,
right.
which, of course, the Makers always have hope. That's one of their strongest assets, I think.
Mm.
But the story focuses very much about how the Makers is an eternal race, but they're dying, and you kind of
mm-hmm.
like has to, that's a lot to grasp right there. So,
yes.
But that track in general was more about capturing something that was magical and fantasy, and that's really the whole kind of overarching, you know, feel there, trying to find that, you know, when does music become, you know, magical? I'm not saying my music has magic in it, but I'm certainly trying to go in
mm-hmm.
that direction,
mm-hmm.
You know, to construct something that makes you feel, oh, this is a magical place, you know.
So overall, Can you think of some techniques maybe you tried that you hadn't tried before? Or even, I mean, I know you love to always tinker with sounds and come up with new things that way. But what are some of the new things that you stumbled upon that you're excited to continue working with?
This was my first score using my studio. That's been an ongoing process, but I have really gotten all my like analog instruments from the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. I really got to use those on this score. And in a way, I think it's the, you know, it's the first time I really got to use a lot of them. These instruments are things that you look for and then suddenly maybe something becomes available and you have to act on it. And it's not just something you can go out and buy, you know, you have to really, sometimes it takes years before you can find that one instrument. So I think I have the instruments that I've been looking for this score. It's not that I bought them for this score, but I finally have the instruments that I have been looking for a while. And there's a lot of like, you know, string synthesizers in there and vintage vocoders on there. Like the Crystal Spire track has a lot of those types of mood where, you know, it goes into more like abstract kind of singing into devices and these kind of things. And it becomes its own kind of organic thing. I also use a lot of vintage mixers and stuff like this. You know, I love that whole sound. And there's a lot of CS80 in there, which is the synthesizer that Vangelis uses a lot. Like, you know, Blade Runner, that was basically written with a CS80 and of course some other instruments as well, but it's one of the main instruments. I got a Prophet 10 finally, you know, which is also a monster of an analog synth. Then that's also all over that soundtrack.
Well, it's just a pleasure as always to talk with you. Thanks, Jesper.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Top Score from Classical NPR. I'm Emily Reese, and our technical director is Sam Keenan. Upcoming episodes of Top Score will feature Daniel Licht of Dishonored. I don't know why I say that. It's Daniel Licht. Daniel Licht of Dishonored, Enon Zur of Rift, and composer Penka Kuniva. If you have comments or questions, head to classicalnpr.org/topscore. I think it's because of classical music. I'm always saying things like Bach. That's why I want to say Licht, you know, Licht, instead of Daniel Licht. Anyway, you can also find us on Twitter and Tumblr at Topscore Podcast. Don't forget, we are totally giving away two copies of the Darksiders 2 soundtrack written by Jesper Kidd. You can enter the drawing for a chance to win at classicalnpr.org/topscore. The entry period ends on Thursday, the 20th of December, 2012.